Hi, it's Giffen Lebates here, and Niccolo Roschini suggested that I talk a bit about the difference between ERC 721 and ERC 1155. So I thought I'd go one better and actually talk about all three of the common token standards that exist on Ethereum. And I will actually start with one known as ERC 20, which is the fungible token standard. And what an ERC 20 contract does is it implements all the functionality required to create fungible tokens, including a data structure that stores who owns what. And you can think of this data structure as a two-column list. The first column is a list of the addresses, which are like bank accounts, and the second column is the list of balances. And so you might have an entry in the list that says, here's my address and my balance is 100. And then if I transfer 50, what is happening is my balance is reduced by 50 and somebody else's balance is upped by 50. And the ERC20 contract is supposed to keep track of all the balances and make sure that there's no increase or decrease to the total amount in order to conserve the quantity of the tokens. Now you can then conduct a little thought experiment, which is, what would happen if you issued an ERC20 contract and you said that the total supply was 1 and there are no decimal places? Well, that would give you a fungible token with a total indivisible quantity of 1, and that would make it a non-fungible token. It would become a single unit entity that could only be owned by one person at any given time. Now, the reason why we don't issue NFTs using ERC20 and a total supply of 1 that's indivisible is this becomes very inefficient if we want to issue a lot of different NFTs. You need to deploy a separate ERC20 contract for each and every token. And if you're doing a 10,000 NFT drop, that will get incredibly expensive in terms of gas on the Ethereum blockchain. And so the idea was then proposed for a new standard, and you can tell that it was quite a bit later on because its number is ERC721. And the idea was that we could have a container function or a container contract for a group of non-fungible tokens. And what the designers did was they took the ERC20 list and kind of flipped the entries around. So rather than having accounts and their balances, they created the list with the first column being the token ID and the second column containing who owns that token. So now you can have as many tokens as you like. You might say that we're going to have a maximum total of 10,000 NFTs. So your first column would have 10,000 entries, and you probably use consecutive numbers for the token IDs, although that's not compulsory. So you'll have token 1, token 2, token 3, and each of those tokens will have its owner in the second column. And that's all great and good. Now we have two standards, one for fungible tokens and one for non-fungible tokens. But then they came up with an idea of, why don't we combine the two together? So ERC1155 was born, and it is the fungible and non-fungible token standard. And there what they did was they took the ERC721 standard. Remember, that's the one where the first column contains the token ID and the second column contains the owner of the token, and they changed the second column so that rather than only being able to have one entry in there, the owner of the token, you could have multiple entries. So now you have a two-column list, but the second column, each field is itself a list. So you basically have a three-dimensional array at this point. Is that right? Yes. No. You have a two-dimensional array. Sorry. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked there. The key thing is now you, for ERC 1155, you have a first column that tells you the token IDs, and you have a second column that itself contains a list of the owners of that token. And then when you think about it, it's like, well, how can you have the owners of that token? Doesn't that mean that they each have a fractional amount? And you say, well, no, we'll have balances. And if you use the trick that I described at the very beginning to turn an ERC20 into a non-fungible token within that list, then you have a true non-fungible token. But if you decide that for each token ID you can have multiple balances, well, then that token becomes a fungible token, because now you could have, say, three addresses and each one owns 10 of the token with ID 3, say. So the ERC1155 standard encapsulates the properties of both the non-fungible and the fungible token structure in one convenient contract. And that's really it. To summarize, we have three standards. We have ERC20, the fungible token standard. We have ERC721, the non-fungible token standard. And then we have ERC1155, which is a combination of the previous two that gives us a mixed fungible and non-fungible token standard. And that's basically it. Hope you found it interesting, and I'll see you all in the next video soon. Bye for now.